On tonight's show, man, we are talking championships, national championships, and Sun Belt championships. We got a lot of hardware to hand out.
A lot of it. It's the end of the season, and you know that means postseason trophies.
Yeah.
So
spring sports have been wrapping up all over the place, and we got it all here tonight.
It's the season finale of the Bench Boys.
Sad day.
Roll the music.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome in. Stole your line.
I stole my line, man.
I did.
There's been like 40 episodes of me opening it.
50 episodes of you opening it up with welcome in.
Well, it's, you know, it is the last episode.
Right, like just once.
Yeah, I'll let you get in it one time. But welcome in, just in case. We are the Bench Boys. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And this is our show. Thanks for coming. We just in case you haven't been here at all throughout the whole first season, our podcast focuses mainly on talking about all things sports, Sun Belt sports, Group of Five sports, unique sports, anything. We love to talk about sports, and that's what we're here to do for the next 35, 50 minutes. We'll see how long it takes.
I see how long we want to do this.
Yeah. We kind of make that, we kind of just go on the fly. That's kind of what we do.
And when you're done listening, go follow us on Twitter. We're at the OG Bench Boys on Twitter. We're also on Facebook because, I don't know. I've run out of funny jokes for this.
No,
so.
It's people like Facebook, I think. Still.
It's a thing.
Parents do? Grandparents?
It's a necessary evil at this point.
Yeah, yeah. We're on Twitter, like you said.
I much prefer it.
While you're listening to us on whatever app you're using, hit that subscribe button because we post stuff. You want to know the latest breaking news when it comes to anything in the Sun Belt, and we got it here. So hit that subscribe button right now. As we said earlier, tonight's show going to be a sweet one. Also going to be the last show of the season.
A bittersweet one.
A bittersweet last show of the season. So what was that, 52 episodes?
This is 51.
51 episodes, so... we got a lot to talk about. We started the show talking about championships.
I'm sure we did.
We're going to end the show. We're going to end this season talking about championships.
And we're not just going to be talking about any sort of championships. We're going to be talking about a national championship.
A national championship. That was won.
Go ahead.
By a Sun Belt team.
That's right. Did App State's women's basketball win their...
Yeah, they won. They won.
Yeah, so they won.
National Invitational too.
Yeah, so. They won an Invitational tournament. And now we have two.
Those.
At this point last year, I don't think we had any. But now we have two, 51 episodes later. And we're ending it on a high note. Congratulations to UTA softball.
Yes. Unlike their basketball team.
Ooh.
They did go all the way and win the championship. And no, they ended up, they went undefeated for the weekend, right?
Yep. They didn't lose a single game in this championship.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the College World Series, but there's some still quality teams, and then they play a Big 12 team,
yeah.
Iowa State, in the championship game and beat them. I mean, heck of a win.
Not just any win, though. They won in a walk-off, 4-3. Bottom of the seventh inning, laced a single to drive. Garcia laced a single. I can't even speak because I'm just trying to read
words
this.
Words do things good.
Yeah, me yeah. Not do good things, word right.
Yeah.
Junior first base, Eileen Garcia hits a single, brought across the final run in the bottom of the seventh, and the Mavericks beat Iowa State 4-3.
How many outs were there, does it say?
Probably not. No, it doesn't. But
there's two outs, that'd been amazing. What a feeling. You talk about, I mean, like any kid growing up, you want to be at the plate. 3-2 count, maybe bases loaded. 3-2 count, winning run, anything. Like, you dream for those type of instances. And I bet that girl is still on that high. Like, it's probably been a week now, I think, since the game. And I bet she's still cloud nine.
If she...
Well, new gadget.
Yeah, my gadget just made a noise. If she never goes pro, this is the peak of her career.
Yeah.
Like, she could walk away from softball forever.
Just junior?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so but, she's got one more year.
Yeah, but she could walk away from it all right now and be mm-hmm. on top.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. Not suggesting you do that.
No.
Finish your schooling, pay for your schooling. It's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah. Do you. But no, heck of a run. I mean, heck of a run. We had, what, two teams that got into that tournament. I think App State was the other team. Excuse me. I think App State was the other team. I think they got bounced early in that tournament. But for UTA to go all the way, what a good – I mean, that's just one more sign of proof.
No.
No.
They were not in that.
App was in a different tournament.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
I think they were. I thought those two teams got invites to that tournament.
Whoa. Huh? There's more teams in here than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And Appalachian State was in the first round there and got bounced.
They got bounced. Okay. So, yeah. So, App State, they got bounced early. But just another sign. And Troy didn't even make one. We talked about that. Still a little butthurt over it.
Absolutely.
But Troy, who we thought was the second best team in the conference, didn't even make that tournament.
No looks.
So, yeah.
No looks.
You got UTA winning it. I think that just still shows the depth of the conference. I mean, obviously, UL was there. UL got bounced in a
regional
against Ole Miss. But still, the conference was really strong this year in softball, I thought. And that further proves it, that UTA was able to go through
that. You take away Louisiana, and Troy was 19-8, but the next two teams are within three games of Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So 2, 3, and 4 are all within three games of each other.
Well, we had four teams that won 30 games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just going by conference.
Yeah.
Coastal won
39. Mm-hmm.
App State won 31.
Mm-hmm.
UTA won 36. Troy won 37. Louisiana won 52-6. I will say.
It's insane.
It is.
That's
because
wild.
You know, teams that are doing that good mm-hmm. are the ones that are playing in the College World Series right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Another shout out to Louisiana. We're going to.
Of course.
Let's just transition right into baseball.
Do it.
Louisiana, 8th in the country in overall attendance for baseball this past season. 8th.
In the country.
In the entire country. There was like 7 SEC schools in that. And literally they have, their stadiums are just bigger.
Yeah.
UL had an, like, that's an impressive list that UL was
on. For baseball?
Yeah.
You want me to go a step further?
Yeah.
15-15, 28-31. This is an under 500 team.
That's still.
That hit the top 8 in baseball. What does that tell you about the state of Louisiana?
They love baseball.
They love baseball.
I think every program needs to take a look and say, you don't have to be undefeated to love your team. And no matter who's on that team, no matter who they're playing, you show up to those games.
Those people didn't go to LSU games those days.
No.
They didn't go to Louisiana Tech, Grambling, or La
Monroe. Southeast Louisiana.
No.
Like,
they were all in attendance at Louisiana.
Yep. No, it can be done, and all of the Sun Belt schools need to take, even App State and Troy, they all need to take a look at what they did. I mean, that's impressive to finish top 10 in attendance. That is extremely impressive. So, hats off to Louisiana. You know how to sell tickets. You know how to put a good product on the field. It's an amazing venue, for one thing. They hosted the Sun Belt tournament last year. So yeah, no, it's what an amazing feat for them this year. Congratulations to UL. As for Sun Belt tournaments,
they got bounced. Louisiana got bounced by Troy.
They did.
Who got bounced by Georgia Southern.
Yep.
Who went to the championship.
Yep.
And lost to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. Coastal hosted for the first time ever their conference tournament.
And
coincidentally,
probably the last time
that any of the Sun Belt schools will host, as we talked about on our first episode,
We Want Some Mo. Yeah.
Second episode, We Want Some Mo. Montgomery going to be hosting next year's. So Coastal literally got the last one, and they said, you want to know what? It's the last one. We're taking that home
field
advantage.
This is our conference.
We're doing it. And me and Thomas, holy smokes, did we say the train was off. The wheels were off. Everything was off. The plane crashed. Everyone died. Not everyone died, but literally everything was going wrong for Coastal, I felt like, over the past probably 5 weeks of the season. I mean, they won maybe four series out of their last 9. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it just all signs pointed to an early exit. And somehow, some way, this Coastal Carolina team, which we should have expected, was ready to play in postseason play. Because these guys, there's still players on this team that were from that national title team in 2015.
Yeah.
So they know how to win.
This, the seniors were,
or,
yeah.
Was it 2016? It might have been 2016.
16, yeah.
I think it was 16. So these guys know how to win in the postseason, and they sure as hell proved that this weekend. I mean, they literally – go look at how – they put up a crazy stat. I don't know if you're on their baseball Twitter right now, but they were talking about how many – I think they hit 18 home runs for the tournament. They had 90 runs scored for the tournament. That is what – That is what we saw out of Coastal baseball.
13 is 21.
For literally that's what we saw out of them for the early part of the season. Why we were all like, okay,
61,
this is going to be the team.
71.
Here we go. Most home runs, 18. Most runs scored, 80. They had 90 hits. Best batting average. They hit .385 for a batting average. Most runs in a single game. They scored 26 runs in a single game. Most home runs in a single game, 5, and they did it twice. So guess what? Their bats that have been – it's not that their bats were quiet. They would just die, like, for a game, and they get rocked. I mean, rocked. And then – because they lost – did they lose their opener in this series?
They lost in 10 innings to UT Arlington.
UT Arlington in 10 innings, who they then had to come back – and play again.
And beat in 10 innings.
And beat in 10 innings in the rematch. So those two teams, a little rivalry. But
let's look at the numbers there real quick. Yeah. Because you're saying 80 runs, right? Mm-hmm. 90 hits. Mm-hmm. That means across the entire tournament, I can count on both hands the number of hits that did not translate into runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every other hit.
Turned into a run. Yeah. Yeah, that's impressive. How many games did they play? 5?
Oh, let's count them.
Is it 5?
Let's count them. All right. UT Arlington, Texas State, UT Arlington rematch, ULM rematch, Coastal, or Georgia Southern. They played 5.
6 games.
6 games.
6 games, scored 80 runs. That's like 12 runs a game right there.
13.
13 runs a game.
13 runs a game. And what were they hitting? What were they doing at the beginning of the season?
What were they doing? They were scoring double-digit runs a game. So they got back to their mojo, and they said, we're just going to flat-out out-hit you. Because in those games, they were giving up. There was one game where it was like, what, 13 to a...
It's 14 to 13.
14 to 13. So, I mean, they were giving up runs, but they just said, you want to know what? We're just going to out-hit you. And, I mean, that's their bread and butter. They have been able to hit, and that's why you and me were just so shocked, because Friday night games, they were getting shut out in Friday night games. And you're just like, how are they getting shut out right now? Like, this team is just loaded with guys who can smash the ball. And they get into conference play, and they just forget how to hit. Yep. So, I mean, and obviously they're at home. They're used to the field. That probably had a little bit of difference. But still.
That doesn't explain the midseason lull.
Like, what happens at home for those games? Like,
because just, we literally looked into it. We were like, did somebody get injured? Did somebody get hurt? Like, is there something that we can point to other than that Troy series that was like even a fluke by itself?
It was just baffling. But they come in as a 5 seed into the tournament. I mean, and you go out and you put numbers. That's not 5 seed numbers.
I think the most impressive win was when they just crushed Texas State 13-4.
Oh, yeah.
That was their second game.
What they did to ULM was impressive. Who they put up 26 runs on? Was that ULM? Yeah. But ULM caught fire in this game. ULM was a high seed. But ULM, if you go look at what they did, they shut out Texas State in the opening game.
They
8
did.
8-0. I mean, ULM... And then they beat ULM, beat somebody else. ULM,
Texas Arlington, 18-5.
Yeah, I mean, ULM was on fire, and Coastal comes out and says, "Hey, you can score 19 runs. We're going to top that."
But see, that was the hangup, because Coastal was obviously ULM's kryptonite.
Uh-huh.
That green bird.
Oh yeah.
Because they had to beat ULM twice in a row because ULM had not lost. But they turned around and did it, and they said, "We're going to hang 26 on you. We're still going to hang double digits on you the next day."
Yeah. No, that I mean,
no, it was the same day. It was the same day.
Yeah, it was a double header.
They turned around and said, "All right, we hung up 26 on you. You hung 10 on us. We're going to hang 10 on you again."
Yeah, no. That impressive run for Coastal baseball. They obviously beat Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern was number 2 seed for the tournament. Or they might have been three seed. I can't remember. Right. But still, Troy had a decent run. Two close losses to end. They played Georgia Southern in the semifinal matchup. Had to beat them twice. Lost them 1-0 in the semifinal matchup. Just could not get anything across the plate. And let me tell you something. When you're getting into that fifth game, or you're playing your fourth or fifth game, especially your fifth game, you're pitching guys that you're either getting your day one guy on like 3 days rest, or you're pitching a guy that's, you know, probably a mid inning guy that can get, you know, three innings. So I mean, it's so much strategy in that game five, game six era of if you make it that deep. And so you really saw that the pitching might not be as deep in the Sun Belt as other conferences because of just, I mean, you look at the numbers that these teams are putting up. There are a lot of high scoring games in this tournament. So, exciting tournament. And then with how Coastal closed it out against Georgia Southern on the final day. And that was, I mean, that's fun. Winner take all, basically, because both teams had already had one loss. So, I mean, so winner take all, a little format there for that championship game. That's what you want. Championship games, you don't want to see a team have to come in there and win twice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want to, I want one game for all the marbles. And that's how it was. And I think that was pretty sweet. So congratulations to Coastal Alabama. They are heading to Atlanta to go for the Georgia Tech Regional.
They play
also
Auburn.
Florida
A&M.
Yep. Alabama love there. A little Auburn. Auburn will be showing up. And then Florida A&M. Florida A&M, they always have a respectable baseball team. I'm not going to say they're world beaters by any means, but they always have their day one pitcher. He's going to be good. Like their number one pitcher, he'll probably throw mid-90s, low 90s. That they always have a guy. It's the problem is they get they'll throw him for that day one game, and then they don't have anybody else. They'll most likely lose to Georgia Tech in the first game, and they'll go to the elimination game. Have a guy who doesn't, and then they'll get rocked in the second game. So that's kind of how it happens with those teams. That's going to be a fun regional. They get to go to Atlanta, not too far away, because you know they're on the coast of South Carolina, so it's not a long drive.
No, it's not.
But if they can beat Auburn, which I think Auburn is very beatable, if they can beat Auburn on that first day and get to Georgia Tech 1-0, that's going to be good because they can hit. And Georgia Tech's got some solid pitching, but they can hit obviously off of anybody. And so you never know what could happen there.
I'll be completely honest with you. I'm pulling for him.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm
want him to go.
For Coastal. I want him to go all the way.
I want him to just make the World Series. I think that would be,
yeah,
with the tumultuous season they had, the ups and downs. At one point, they were ranked inside the top 10 to being where they were. I mean, basically,
they were
having,
in the middle of the
East. They had to win.
East. Yeah.
They had to win the tournament. They were not going to get in if they didn't win the tournament. That's how far they dropped.
I got a bit of a pet peeve, though.
All right.
I was looking at the records, and I was picking different teams that had, like, 33, 34 wins, mm-hmm, that are making this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Texas State, 36-20.
Yep.
Nebraska, 31-22.
Yep.
And which of those two teams made the tournament?
Nebraska did.
Not Texas State.
Yep. Well, Nebraska was the runner-up in the Big Ten Championship. And so what helped them was the fact that they made it all the way to the championship game. And what also helped them is that where is the College World Series?
Omaha.
There you go. They literally just played the Big Ten Championship right down the road from Omaha. They had, I think, like 8,000 fans that showed up to that game. Packed out the house. I mean, Nebraska was in that top 10 for season standings. Mm-hmm. It's a market thing. They see that. So, but no, Texas State, they kind of got shafted. Also, Missouri, I know they aren't in Sun Belt in their SEC. They kind of got shafted too. So, because
I'm in support of any team that got shafted.
Yeah,
so
they were the last. They were the last or first four out. Was Texas State was in that mm-hmm, first four out. So, no, that was kind of a bummer for Texas State because they did win the season title in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
They had some decent out-of-conference wins. Their RPI still was kind of low. I think it was in, like, the 70s.
But...
That's the problem. That's the problem with this league. I mean, that's how it is, that we're a one. When you don't have a nationally ranked Coastal Carolina, most of the time we're going to be a one-bid league. That's what we
are. That's why it irritates me, because baseball is our best sport. Mm-hmm. Conference USA got two bids, Florida Atlantic and Southern Miss.
Yep.
Sunbelt got two last year with Coastal and Troy.
Was Southern Miss what was their record?
That's a great
question.
Did
they get two bids because Southern Miss stole a...
No, they won the championship.
Did they steal a bid, though? That's the question. Was FAU supposed to win the whole thing? Southern Miss comes in here, steals a bid, and then they still got to put FAU up there because FAU still had a decent record. So that, you know, it's just like basketball, you know? Like St. Mary's in the tournament past season. They go and they upset Gonzaga in their tournament. There's a bid that they just stole, because most of the time the WCC is going to be one, maybe two big league, maybe three. But St. Mary's was not supposed to be one of those one or two bids. And so they steal a bid, moves everybody down, makes you wonder. Southern Miss usually has good baseball, though.
They did win 40 games.
Okay, they got 40
wins. The
Owls
won 40 games. So.
Okay, so you win 40 games, you got pretty good. You got some pretty good firepower.
And I think we talked about that last year, too.
Yeah.
So,
congratulations, Coastal. Heck of a run. Like, we want to see them go deep. I think the regionals start Thursday or Friday of this week. Don't quote me on that. It might be Friday. But they get Atlanta regional. I think it's a very winnable regional for them. I really do. And before we go any further, Auburn, prayers out to the Auburn family.
Yeah.
For Rob Bramblett. The guy, I mean, might be one of the five best calls in college football in this century, I think.
All time.
You think all time?
I think all time.
Wow.
Just as a call, and then as the play itself.
Yeah. The play definitely is.
The ramifications.
Oh, yeah.
The play itself, the place it had in the game,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah, the call itself.
Yeah.
Because... you can't listen to that and not get goosebumps.
No, I mean, it's the play was so unexpected on how it happened. Like, that's a play where you remember where you were.
I do, yeah.
I remember exactly where I were.
Yep.
Where I was when I was watching it. You remember the play. You remember watching it. And I think that plays that come to mind in this century or in the past decade, that play in the Michigan State game.
Yep.
Where you don't think that's how the play is going to, like, you just, that's not, before the snap, that is not what you think is going to happen. I'm thinking, okay, maybe they block it, you know, not the fact of, oh, he's going to come up 3 yards short and the guy's going to take it 112 yards back on Alabama, you know? So, just incredible play call. Literally my timeline for like 48 hours was just the amount of respect, the amount of heartfelt like loss, because I mean we're here in Alabama, we're both friends with a lot of sports reporters, we're both friends with a lot of sports broadcasters. Barry McKnight was best friends with the guy.
Yeah,
I mean you really saw just heartache around a lot of the sporting world in Alabama this week. And you saw even Nick Saban talked about it. I mean, you had Eli Gold talking about him.
I saw that interview, yeah.
Just, it's, you know, this is no rivalry, nothing compares to any, I mean, everything takes a back seat when something like this happens. And you know, a tragic accident, obviously. But he's a voice.
He was the voice of football for me growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew up an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
Like, he took over for football literally the year I really started paying attention.
Yeah, 03, right? Yeah.
And listening to football, yeah.
Yeah.
That Iron Bowl in 2003 was the first one that I remember specifically listening to. I didn't understand it necessarily, but I was listening to it. That was his first Iron Bowl as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with his voice, hearing his voice. And whenever I thought about football voices, this was always the first one to come to mind.
Yeah.
Just because it was who I listened to.
No, it's when you hear, when it's that voice that just, you know, you associate with listening to, you associate with listening to, like, and it's just, it, and it's going to be weird for that fan base for Auburn. It, hell, I mean, when Barry McKnight leaves, not, hopefully not anytime soon, or when, you know, when anybody in your respective, that first game that you hear when it's not their voice that comes over the your radio or, you know, your computer because you're listening online, it's weird, and it's going to be very emotional for that fan base. And but no, just quick, I know we talked more about it, but I mean, that's the type of man he was. I mean, it's a big impact on the state of Alabama sports in general. I mean, just incredible impact. So no, that just heartfelt, our hearts and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Very tough loss for
and
that family.
He started doing baseball back in 93. He was the voice of Auburn baseball before anything else. And so for them to be going into this regional, you know they're going to have something on their shoulder. You've got Coastal as the underdog. You got Florida A&M as the nobody.
Yep.
And then Georgia Tech as the home team that they weren't even the best in the ACC, were they?
I don't know if they were still nationally ranked. I mean, they're a top 16 team.
But
the ACC is the ACC.
Exactly.
They're loaded.
So they're fighting for themselves anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So
it's going to – that region, there's going to be a lot of motion in that regional. I guarantee you that. So, but yeah, so Coastal Carolina moving on. We will definitely follow them. We'll try to tweet that out as much as we can.
Yep.
When they get going. So baseball wrapped up for Sun Belt play, obviously. So we crowned a champion there. That's pretty much it for baseball.
Yeah, and with the end of baseball basically becomes that lull of pre-football. And we felt that really hard. I remember last year.
Well, before we get into football, let me talk about one thing.
Okay.
Really quick. Since we're kind of talking about championships, we almost had another national title.
You're right. Let's get to it.
We almost had another national title. One, Georgia Southern, obviously only they're the Sun Belt team. They made it out of a regional to literally the national championship series. Now there's like, I think, 15 teams that made it to the, but then they do. They do another stroke play thing, and then they go to match play. Georgia Southern didn't make it out of the stroke play portion, but Stephen Fisk, their number one player on their team, guy who won, I'm pretty sure he won the Sun Belt Championship, finishes runner-up in the national championship to a guy whose name is Matt Wolf, who's already who basically is going to be on the tour next year.
Well, as soon as he gets out.
As soon as he gets done. Oklahoma State actually got upset. Stanford won the national title this year. Oklahoma State made it to the Final Four. They played Texas. Stanford played, I want to say, USC. And Stanford beat USC. Texas beat Oklahoma State. Stanford beats Texas. They win the national title. So, and that, let me tell you something. Oklahoma State, for the past couple of years, they've been like Alabama in football.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, in golf,
You just kind of expect them to be there at the final game. So, they ended up winning it, but the Oklahoma State guy won the individual title. So golf's kind of weird. You have the team, and then you have individuals that are playing. They're still individuals that, and those guys on those teams, they're still playing for an individual title too. So obviously Oklahoma State, but Stephen Fisk was by himself.
To come in second,
I think he finished like 5 shots behind. That's how good this kid was. I don't think anybody was going to catch him. But he finished runner-up to him. Heck of a weekend. He's probably going to turn pro. I would imagine. I think he's a senior anyway, and he's probably going to be on the circuit here. Heck of a year for Mr. Stephen Fisk. He won a couple tournaments during the season. Heck of a year for Georgia Southern men's golf. Best finish ever in the national scene.
Mm-hmm.
Had to shout out. You know, I always got to get a little golf in. Last episode of the year, had to throw some golf in it. So,
anytime somebody gets that close to a national championship, I think it's worth mentioning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because that's what irritates me about football, is because it's the only sport in which the parity is so lacking.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious
how
little the have-nots have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So,
no doubt. No doubt at all.
I mean, you could argue basketball, but even basketball has Cinderellas.
Dude, I saw this crazy stat. I know we're getting off topic, but you talk about
Let's go.
Parity.
Yeah.
and you talk about the NHL. NHL, there is no sport that has as much parity as the NHL does. Since 2003, I was reading, there was 12 different teams from 2003 to 2000 and I think 14. So, what was it? Or 2002. It was basically 14 years. There were 12 different teams that won the Stanley Cup. 12!
I like that.
That's incredible. Like, you know how hard it is to win? You've got that much parity? I mean, that's incredible. Like, that blew my mind.
Like, in the NFL, you've got the Patriots.
Yeah.
But the NFL, or the NFC, excuse me, has parity. Because you've had the Rams, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Saints, all these other teams in the past 10 years. I don't think a single one, there might have been like one or two, I think the Cardinals and the Seahawks have repeated. Mm-hmm. But that's about it for the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in basketball, you've got this Golden State and you had Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was obvious. College football, you've got Bama and Clemson.
Yep.
Like, there's a line to be drawn where the obvious best teams are. And I'm glad that NHL, I'm glad that hockey can be like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really, really incredible the fact that, I don't know, that was just a crazy stat. I mean, even in the Sun Belt, it's kind of like, okay, it's going to be Ark State, Troy, or App State. That's kind of how it's been for the last, like, what, 3 years?
Yep. Pretty much. And then Georgia Southern hops in there.
Yeah, Georgia Southern's kind of hopped in there. But outside of that, I mean, yeah, ULL, they made it to the championship, but you didn't expect ULL to get there. I mean,
no.
You kidding? Like, no way. So, but even that. So, just congratulations to Stephen Fisk. Hell of a season. And so, yeah, but we'll transition over into football.
That's fine.
Yeah, slow period for football.
It is.
Yeah.
We've got little bits of news here and there. We've got players going into the transfer portal as graduates. We've got contracts renewing, especially in the bowl level. So this past week, they announced, and I'm sure if you saw it on at least my Twitter account, they announced the bowl schedule for this year, and the big one that stood out to me, the Dollar General Bowl, was moved to January 5th. It is the last bowl game before the college football playoff championship. I like that. I think that's great for the Sun Belt as far as visuals, as far as like branding goes, because you get these really big college football fans like myself and mm-hmm. you and probably people listening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the season to end. And so maybe if you're not a Sun Belt fan, you'll tune into this game because it's all you've got until you watch Alabama versus Clemson Part 4,
mm-hmm.
which may have its own entertaining value, but you still got another week till that happens, and you want to get some college football in,
mm-hmm.
Dollar General Bowl is a place for you to go.
Yeah.
A note on the name. I've said this on Twitter. I'll say it again. The contract was up this year. They're quote-unquote defaulting to the Mobile Alabama Bowl. That's because that's the name of the bowl association.
Yeah.
That's what the name of the company is.
Yeah.
And they could very well renew a Dollar General Bowl. From what I know, the relationship was good with the Dollar General Bowl, and I fully expect them to replace the name Dollar General Bowl I fully expect them to return to the name Dollar General Bowl.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
If not, you'll hear it from me. Like.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what would be like a cooler name or a cooler sponsor. Coca-Cola, I feel like, has their own bowl. They're, like, in everything.
Yeah.
Be, like, the Airbus bowl or something.
That's the only local mobile
giant bowl
company that would be good.
Giant plane flying over as the flyby, you know? That'd be kind of cool. Is this going to be probably the last year of it being in...
No.
Ladd Peebles?
Oh, Ladd Peebles? Yeah. Well, it will be in Ladd Peebles until South Alabama's stadium is built.
Yeah, so this
is
probably the final year.
Well, no, I don't.
They'll be done by 2020.
Are y'all supposed to be done by 2020? Okay, that's a thumbs up.
Because not this year, but next year.
Right.
Because South plays at Troy this year. They wanted Troy at home.
Yeah.
You know, they the Troy fans usually outnumber the South fans. And whenever Troy comes to
town. She's not paying attention. It's anyway, but no, you're right. And I think that is correct. It will be the last year it's at LAD. And they're going to stay in Mobile too.
That could be a factor though in these negotiations, because if their contract is up this year, normally when you sign bowl games, I mean, you're only going to sign for 1 year, because the city runs LAD. And so if they're only going to be like, oh, okay, we're only going to be for a year. And we all know how that played out with South Alabama's new stadium in the city of Mobile. They're obviously not on good terms. And so I think that's going to be a big deal in these negotiations of how long this contract. And I guarantee you that Dollar General's only wanting a year contract. And the city's not going to do that because they want long-term investments.
Why would the Dollar General Bowl? Why would Dollar General only want a year contract?
Well, because if you think about it from their side,
the bowl game or the company wanting to be the title sponsor?
I think the company wanted to be the title sponsor.
Why is that?
Because most of the time when you lock those, you lock them in for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you ever saw a bowl game only be its brand for 1 year?
When that company was going down the tube, basically.
Well,
the Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl, they invested everything in that. They were gone the next year.
Really, in 1 year?
Yep. It's only been the Battle Frog for 1 year.
It's like PlayStation.
It is the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl now.
But see, that's the thing. Like, markets, cities, they don't want that. The cities are always going to look for a long-term investment and a long-term partnership, not a short deal. And so it could very well be a different name this year. I mean, I wouldn't put it out of play just because of, and anyone that's going to come in here, they're going to look at LAD Peoples and they're going to say, okay, well, we got this. And then in a year, they're going to be wanting to be at that new stadium.
For sure.
So it's going
to
be.
They've already worked that. As far as I know, they have a handshake verbal agreement with South to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so maybe they leave for a year and then they say, well, we're going to move the bowl to. And so there's going to be a lot of negotiations probably going on.
And that's what's happening. It's just getting tricky with the bowl situation with LAD. But I don't think Dollar General wants to leave the table yet.
No, I don't. I don't think they want to leave the table, but I don't think they want to get signed up for something where it says, oh, well, we're going to have the Dollar General Bowl. We're going to have the bowl game here for the next 5 years in LAD Peoples, when they see, oh, hold up, like, we've got a brand new
stadium. It's the Bowl Association looking for a place itself.
Yeah.
And potentially the city not wanting that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that being an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is,
but that's gonna,
they've had this issue with the city before with the contract and it not being paid
mm-hmm.
till the week before.
Yeah, but they've never had another option. And in 2020, there's going to be another option. And what I'm trying to say is, I think, excuse me. What I'm trying to say is, these companies they're trying to plan out, and these companies aren't going to plan for just 1 year. You would think.
Right.
At least my company would. So, and these companies, that if you're going to be a main title sponsor, you're not going to want to be pigeonholed or part of a contract that says if the city comes to
you, have to stay at LAD for the whole time?
Yeah.
I don't.
You never know.
The Dollar General Bowl is not going to be stuck at LAD for two more years.
That's what you hope. But see, there's been so much feuding between the LAD people, stadium people, the city of Mobile, all of those people. That I guarantee you it ain't going to go smoothly. Nothing in Alabama ever goes smoothly.
No, you're right.
So,
but you got to think about who actually holds the money.
Yeah.
Who actually holds the power in the situation. And it's not the city of Mobile.
No.
It's not the LAD People Stadium Board. Mm-hmm. It's the Dollar General Bowl.
Yeah.
And they're going to get their way, even if Mobile tries to fight it.
You hope so. I hope they don't get pigeonholed where we're having to go to nothing is LAD. Actually, sorry, everything is LAD. I don't want to go to another bowl game in LAD Peoples. Like, not.
They're going to have to for one more year.
One more year. Not when I have another option to go to a nicer stadium.
No.
I'm picking everything over LAD Peoples. And it's just, That's you're gonna want to go to that new stadium. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be an incredible facility. So, I think there might be a little. I don't think it's gonna go over. There's gonna be a lot of negotiations. We're still obviously early, and as how last year was handled, who knows? They might do it the week before. Like, I'm sure ESPN, well, since it covers it, will want the brand name, you know, batted down before then. And that's another thing. ESPN's in on this.
But they don't own the bowl.
They don't own the bowl, but they're still.
So it doesn't matter.
But they're still putting it on TV, though. They gotta sell something. They can't be like, oh, well, it's January 1st.
And that's why.
You guys named your bowl yet?
That's why they went ahead and called it the Mobile Alabama Bowl.
Yeah.
Because in case the title sponsor doesn't get through, they can do a deal with the city by themselves for whatever.
X amount of dollars.
Yeah, and then turn around and get another one. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of movement, though, for bowl games. Dollar General Bowl being the biggest mover. The other interesting thing, which I think it's kind of a hit, and I hope it doesn't last long, and I don't think it will because we're getting away from Arizona, but this coming year we have two games now on CBS Sports, which we have two bowl games on CBS Sports.
Okay.
And the other one is the Orlando, the Cure Bowl, which is now at...
Oh, that's been on CBS Sports, though.
That one was not. That one was on ESPN. We've only ever, for the past 3 years, we've only had one.
Okay.
CBS Sports. This year, and we will have two. And so, I think that's a hit. Everyone, if you're staying in a hotel, everyone has ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has CBS Sports.
You're absolutely right.
I think that takes away the brand, the Sun Belt brand from our national coverage.
You're right.
And it's nothing against CBS Sports, but...
Well, this become is the last
a, become
year
a network
of,
that you can be seen on everything. Like,
this is the last year that Sunbelt is paired with the Arizona Bowl, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
The Nova Homes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be that much of a hit in the long run.
I wanted to get everything away from CBS Sports. That's my turn. That's my view.
And we got one.
And then now we're going to get rid of one. Well, now we got another one on CBS Sports.
That's
so
fair.
It's like well,
just going against the grain.
Yeah. And so, and that's a bowl, that's an Orlando baseball. I mean, so a lot of their fan base is going to be at that game because most of our Sun Belt teams are going to be able to travel there. Not everybody got to travel to Arizona.
No.
So it's not like you're going to be picking up a lot of ratings or a lot of viewership from those teams on TV because they're going to go to the bowl game. So I mean, it's
that would at least make up for it.
Yeah, you would think. But now it's going to be on CBS Sports and you're going to pick up a very low rating. And so I think it hurts the conference being on CBS Sports because it's not the simplicity of ESPN.
Maybe the New Orleans Bowl will balance it out because it has been moved to the night game. It is the night game that day instead of the afternoon, the first game of bowl season. Mm-hmm. I like that because it puts us in prime time.
Isn't it like a 9 o'clock game?
8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still the Sun Belt in primetime, the Sun Belt champion in primetime.
Yeah, I did. I remember growing up and it being that late game of that first day. You know, and it was fun. You know, eating dinner, watching some. I mean, that first day of the bowl games, you're watching whoever's on TV. To be honest with you, because you've been 2 weeks without college football at that point, so you're gonna watch whatever you can get. So,
and I think that first of all. That's why I love bowl season, because you can watch any team you want, and it can be any outcome, whatever. It doesn't matter. But that's what I love about some of our bowl games. That's why I love the New Orleans Bowl. That's why I love the Mobile Alabama Bowl, because it is, now that it's back to where it was, because it literally bounced back and forth twice now. It is back to where it was. It's that same deal of, it's been a week without football, and the end is near. Let's go ahead and get this game in, too.
Yeah, I mean, we had some Twitter talk, and both sides, I think, were defended well. And people that wanted to see it closer to the end of the bowl season, some people that didn't.
Yeah. And I get it, though, because...
It hasn't been this late since the college football playoff started.
You're right. That's literally the truth.
And I mean, you look... at how much coverage the college football playoff gets, especially late in the bowl season, compared to any other bowl. I mean, that and that's your fear is that you're just not going to be focused on at all.
But on the same flip side of the same token,
there isn't as much competition. You're it.
That's not where I was going, but you're right. How often do we sit there and watch a Group of Five game on ESPN and then talk about the big boys?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that happens in the regular season.
Most of the time, yeah.
It's garbage. Really it's awful. It's terrible. Yeah. They shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how many times they talk about Neil Brown and how well Neil Brown's doing the same week Troy's playing, if Troy's ever on ESPN.
Mm-hmm. They'll flash back to LSU. They'll flash back to Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be tough, but... it's going to be a very, very interesting bowl season. I think there's going to be a lot of talk here in Mobile about all of that, of how that negotiation process will go. It's going to be very interesting. So, what else we got?
Well, we've got some housekeeping stuff.
Housekeeping stuff. Which is?
We're taking the month of June off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think we were originally going to take to this week off, but last week just fell through because of work.
Yeah, some dumb lottery bill and Alabama just failing again.
Sounds about right.
Politics.
For multiple reasons beyond our control, we are taking the next month of June off.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things happening in June. I personally have a honeymoon.
Yeah. You're the one with all the things happening in June.
Yeah, my June is slammed. It's going to be a really busy month, and honeymoon, we're going to be out of the country, a lot of fun things. And so, and end of the season, you and me, we got some big ideas.
Yep. When we go into season two, I want to shift some gears some. Mm-hmm. It's something we're going to talk about, something we're going to work on. And we're taking the month. We're not just handling our outside lives for a month. I'm going to be working on the show itself, too.
Yeah, we're gonna come out with some different formats.
We have to have a new theme song.
Yeah.
Like because apparently when I downloaded this theme song that you're about to hear, it didn't have any rules on the website. It was like you can just you use it for free as long as you credit the website. That's a Creative Commons license. Mm-hmm. Well, I went back a few weeks later and I was like, maybe get a special version of it. Nope, it says don't use it for podcast. So we're going to have to come out and come up with one or something or do something, figure it out. Maybe I'll have to pay for one.
No,
I don't know.
Me and him over the next month, we've already discussed ideas. Now we're going to try to implement the ideas.
Right. And there are other ideas in the works, with the show itself. So,
yeah.
We'll be back.
They will be amazing though. And
oh, yeah.
What we put this out, Anchor, they're even bringing out some cool things where, you, the listener, might be able to be involved in our show.
So.
Which is.
We just got to work on incorporating it.
And so it might give you guys more options. So, no, we have got some exciting things, I can tell you what, for season two. Like, we're going to come back fresh. We're going to be mid-July by the time we get around to it. And
but that's perfect time for Sunbelt
Media
Days.
So we
round
just
two.
We got our credential requests.
Round two.
Going, we got our credential request emails this past week, so we will be on the lookout for those. Always get a snazzy jacket.
Oh yeah,
I mean, is it kind of like sorority where you're just there for the shirt? Is it kind of like that?
A little bit,
right?
But the food last year.
Oh yeah,
the food was good.
Y'all, I've never had steak and eggs for breakfast before, and that was amazing. Like.
Just
have you ever mixed steak and eggs? It's pretty damn good.
I've seen it on the menu at Waffle House, but I've never actually.
This was so much better than a Waffle House steak. This is like a New York strip, like bam, and eggs. It was phenomenal. So we're excited about that. So we will be taking a little bit of a break, but we will still be on Twitter, obviously. At the OG Bench Boys,
we might do some. I might do some fun stuff with the account and the podcast. So,
did you want to do like a favorite thing? Did you have a favorite thing?
I mean, we could, but nobody answered it on Twitter. So,
I mean, to be honest with you, first episode was fun. Like just jumping into this, we didn't really have an idea. We kind of talked about an idea.
Yeah.
And we're just like, let's just do it.
I feel like we've been kind of like David Letterman, and that's a really dated reference, but like we did different things with our show. Mm-hmm. We tried different things.
Yeah.
And I think we have plenty enough to draw on to make up a better game plan, mm-hmm. and for everything to be a lot more streamlined and a lot better for y'all.
Yeah.
As it's listeners.
It really is. It's going to be, I'm excited for season two. So with that, do you have anything else? Be safe. Stay safe.
Drive safe.
Stay classy.
There it is.
Stay classy, San Diego. Anchorman, where you at?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
We're probably going to get copyrighted for that, too.
Yeah, right? Like, he's going to come after us.
Do you think, I mean, he's got to be in character for an hour.
That's got to be awful.
Well,
I mean, it's not much different than doing a show, I guess. Every week for an hour.
I guess so. We're just talking, though. Like, we aren't in character. Either way, thanks for listening for this first year. You guys, everybody that has helped us out, that has contributed to this podcast, all of our interviews, all of you guys, literally, like, can't thank you guys enough for
giving us
the chance.
Yeah.
Like, to bring you on and trusting us and being like, who are these guys? Like, you know.
Alyssa Newton, Scott Watkins, Robbie Baker, Adam Amin.
I mean, Jeremy Reeves. I mean, just all like the. I mean, we had a very. I feel like we had a really good list for season one, and for those people to let us talk to them and you know give us the time of day. That was awesome. So we're definitely gonna have more kick ass interviews coming up in season two. I can tell you that. I'll
go back and listen to older episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're gonna be a little dated. I mean,
they're still fun though.
Oh yeah,
very fun. So,
so.
But with that, it might be a little while, but still,
it's still hard to let go.
Just come on back, man.